Okay, testing 1, 2, 3. Everyone, can you hear me? Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back to church today. So, want to wish you safe travels, Bodine, and yeah, don't worry about Dio. I'm sure he'll try not to enjoy himself too much partying with the cats. but also, you all met Tamaki's friend Yasuhiro. You know him as Yasuhiro. I know him as Awata. He was my student for 3 years from junior high school, and also he was my basketball player. And yeah, so if I call him Awata, please understand it's Yasuhiro. But I'm glad you're here. Actually, we prayed for Awata in October when Tamaki asked to pray for his friend who had the head injury at the Taikusai or the, yeah, Undokai. Yeah, so Yasuhiro's brain is always crazy. So there's always, we always should pray for his mind. No, okay. Welcome. Glad you could come today. Yeah. Okay. And so I grew up in a church in Southern California, Ocean View Baptist Church, San Pedro. And it's about 250 to 300 people. It's just the right size, not too big, not too small. And my mentor, Dr. Richard Freeman, he trained me in how to be a Christian. And one of the things we did, there's two church services from 9 a.m. till 10 a.m. and then 10:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. And between 10 and 10:30, there was another building in our church campus, a small chapel, and maybe it's like, I don't know how to say it in feet, but maybe it's like maybe 8 or 10 tatami, you know, right? The tatami size room, about, so not big. And from 10 o'clock until 10:20, we would pray. And in a church of 250 people, there were about 20 to 25 people every Sunday before the 10:30 church service. And that was a very important time for our church because 10% of our church was committed to praying for the people of our church, for the church service, for our city, and many things. And so that was something that I was trained in. But anyways, I tell you that because I want you to know that we have also a prayer meeting before the English service. And it starts at 12:45 across the street. And I hope, my prayer is that God will give us 10% of our English conversation. And so if there are 20 people, that means two. I'm terrible at math, but thanks, Jim. But so anyways, we had 3 people today, and my heart is full. Yeah, but I want more. I'm greedy for the Lord. And I hope that we'll have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people. And so I hope that the Lord will call you. Now, please, don't listen to this call and think, yappari, I'm bad, I should go. Don't go because of guilt or obligation. Nothing changes through guilt. But the gospel changes everything. If you want to pray, go because God is saying, yeah, come, there's more. Come, I want you to be a part of what I'm doing for Mitaki and for Hiroshima and for you. Do it because God has put prayer in your heart, okay? So I'm going to put out this call every week, all right? And you'll probably get tired of it, but it's okay. I'm still going to do it, okay? All right, so we're going into our scripture for today, and then we'll have our communion time as well. We have a very short passage to read out loud. It's from Romans chapter 5, verse 1, and let's read it together. Okay, ready? Let's read. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, I pray for you, and I pray for my family, and I pray for my family around the world. I have family in the Philippines, in Canada, in America, everywhere, because I'm Filipino. We have family everywhere. So, now, half of my prayers for my family are for reconciliation. Nihongo, owakai. This cousin is fighting with this cousin. This auntie is fighting with this auntie and uncle. You know, there's always conflict in the family. And even for me, I'm praying I want to be reconciled with this, you know, member of my family. And half of the prayers for my family are always somebody is fighting with somebody. There's an argument with someone, and I'm, Lord, please bring reconciliation. Please restore the relationship. Yeah, do you do that too? Do you have family members you're praying for? Yeah, I think it's everybody, okay? And, yeah, what you're praying for, when you're praying for restoration, for relationship, or reconciliation between people, you are praying for peace. Peace. Now, Christmas, one of the key words for Christmas is peace. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. So today is a short meditation on the word peace. And in the Hebrew, it's called shalom. Maybe you know that word, shalom. You've probably seen it somewhere. And in the Greek, it's eirene. That's what it says there, eirene. So shalom for shalom on earth and eirene for all. So, now, here's the goal line. This is where we're going to go today, the destination. You cannot have peace with others if you do not have peace within yourself. That's what the Bible teaches. And you cannot have peace within yourself unless you have peace with God. If and only if you have peace with heaven, you can have peace in your heart. And if and only if you have peace in your heart, can you have peace with a family member, a friend, or even a neighbor. And so that's our goal line. That's our destination, is peace with others through peace with God. So let's start with the old word, shalom. Now, I want you to imagine shalom. Shalom is a word that means complete, whole. It means there's no crack and there's no blemish. There's no scratch. There's no injury. It's shalom. It's complete. So imagine a bowl, and that bowl is made by a master potter, and it's the perfect shape, and it's been in the oven the perfect amount of time, not too long, not too short, and it's the right size, not too big, not too small. Okay, that's the image. Now, that's called, that bowl is in shalom. That's a shalom bowl, okay? Now, imagine inside that bowl is rice, the perfect amount of rice. Not too much, not too little. That's the shalom donburi, right? And then on top of that rice is a topping. I don't know, for say maybe like an egg, right? Or a fish, or for me, tonkatsu, right? Yeah, all right. Now, I know we have a plant-based diet and vegetarian here. I don't want to offend the vegetarians, but I have a plant-based diet, mostly vegetables. But it is not plant-exclusive. It is plant-based. So sometimes, like a tonkatsu don, I'll eat that. So imagine, okay, back to the bowl, the shalom. All right, there's the pork and the egg and the sauce. It's shalom, right, the donburi. Now, imagine that tonkatsu bowl has on the next to it, there's the there's a bowl of udon, and then there's the tsukemon or tsukemono, right? The pickles, and then there's the tea, and then there's some French fries, and then there's a hamburger. But it's the perfect meal, not too much, not too little. They all there's the protein, the carbs, the sugar, the salt, the oil, but it's perfect balance. It's a shalom meal, yeah. And now imagine. That meal is not just your meal, but there's a whole table full of set menus. And around the table is your family or your friends, and you're eating together. And there's light and laughter. There's warmth. There's love. There's conversation. And everybody is happy to be at the table together. That's shalom. Shalom in the relationships. Now, imagine it's not just one table, but there's you're in a hotel and there's many tables. And it's not just family, but there's friends and there's a wedding and there's a husband and a new wife. And it's all, there's music and somebody's playing the piano. That whole banquet hall is shalom because everybody is at peace with it. It's complete, right? Now, zoom out. Now imagine it's not just one room with people having a good time. It's a whole festival. And so people of all ages, there's something for the children. There's games and activities. There's a performance, like a Christmas concert. And there's a stage. And you know, people are busy, but they're happy. And they're, you know, there's a yatai, and they're buying, and they're selling. And that whole festival atmosphere where people are busy, but not stressed, and there's people from young and old, single, and families, and foreigners, and natives, they're all together, and it's a festival. It's shalom in a whole city. Now, imagine a whole city where there's no war, there's no conflict, and one city is in a partnership with another city, like a sister city. And so the things that this city has, it's giving to what this city needs. And what this city needs, it's getting from the city that has. And there's partnership. That relationship with another part, with another city or another country is called shalom in the Bible. And the people responsible for providing this peace, for protecting and managing and keeping this good relationship and this good society, this shalom society, the ones responsible are called princes, kings, the shepherds, the politicians, the governors. And they were the ones who made sure that their government had shalom. So in the Old Testament, the problem was they all failed. They were terrible. What happened was the rich people would get richer and the poor people would stay poor. The ones who had money and wealth, they kept it to themselves so that they benefited. But the ones who had nothing and they were poor and they had to work all the time, no holidays, no day off, that was their whole life. They had no rest. And so the kings and the governors and the they failed to bring shalom. And so in the Bible, you had the prophets who said, one day, God will give us a king who will give shalom to his people. Where is that promise? That's in your bulletin. It's also on the screen. In Isaiah, we were singing about it today. There's a famous Christmas passage. It says, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6-7, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Shalom. And of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. So you see how government and peace, they go together? How the government is not only supposed to provide a good society, but here's what the government does. The government makes a good relationship with another government. And it's not just there's no war. That's easy. There's no conflict. It's also that they're partners with each other. I give you what you need, you give us what we need, and we're partnering together to make a good society for both governments, for both peoples, right? Right, so that's what it's talking about. The greatness of his government and peace will be known. But please, I'm curious. It says, Prince of Peace. Why not King of Peace? Did you ever wonder that? Why does God give us a Prince of Peace and not a King of Peace? And I think the answer is something like, a prince is not at the top. There's someone higher than the prince. So the power and the authority of the prince, he knows it's not his. It's given to him from the king above, right? So that is a kind of safety where because the prince knows there's someone higher than me, that means I'm not going to abuse my power. I'm not going to use my authority to make me full and to make the people empty. Does that make sense? So it keeps the Prince of Peace knows I'm not going to be a tyrant. I'm not going to oppress and push down on somebody so I can get gain. Because I know there's a higher authority. Now, here's the interesting thing. This is from verse 6. But actually, if you continue to read in Isaiah, well, no, it says right there, yeah. Everlasting, the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. It goes on to say, this prince is actually a king. He is the king. He's the one who sits on David's throne, a great king of Israel. And so he actually is a king, but there's something about his power that he uses to where it brings real and lasting true peace. So it's a royal person. Now, the people of Israel are waiting and waiting for 400 years for a new king who will come and fulfill this promise. And so they're waiting in Jerusalem, in the palace. They're thinking there's going to be an announcement with trumpets in the palace from the king, the royal family. Instead, there is an announcement, but it's not in the city. It's not with trumpets. It's not to the royal family. The announcement comes to shepherds outside the city, not with trumpets, but with angels, right? And so it says there in Luke chapter 2, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior is born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." And then suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, Eirene, Eirene, to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." God, why did you announce the new king to shepherds? Not in the city, but out in the field. Not to the royal family, but to shepherds. Shepherds were dirty. They were smelly. People didn't go near them. People avoided them. Shepherds were not educated. They didn't live in the city where the sophisticated people, educated people live. So when the shepherds said something, you're just like, yeah, okay. They were ignored. They were avoided. They were the low class. But God was bringing the king, a new prince. Why the lowest of the low? What are you doing, God? You said, "Peace to all men," to the shepherds? What is God doing? Here's what he's doing. He's saying, "My peace is not coming from the top down. My peace is coming from the bottom up. Not from the high royal elite, but from the lower class. It's going to come, it's going to emerge." You see, the way that peace usually comes is from the top down. The strong survive. The strong rise. The wealthy, the powerful, the able, the elite. They go and they push down, they compete with others, and those who can't beat them have to join them. You know, there's the historian Josephus. He lived at the same time in the first century. He wrote that the Romans, you know, there's a thing called the Pax Romana. Are you familiar with the Pax Romana? It's called the Roman peace. That's Latin. And so Josephus said, the Romans created a wasteland and they called it Pax, peace. The way that Rome got peace was they killed, they destroyed, they conquered, they dominated. You see, Jesus does not come to bring pax. Jesus comes to bring Eirene. Not the Roman, Latin peace, but the Greek, divine peace. Not peace from the top down, but peace from the bottom up. Right? Now, how does that work? Peace from the top down. Competition, manipulation, oppression, exploitation, step on the enemy. But the way that Jesus brings peace, Eirene, humility, kindness, generosity, sacrifice. Now you say, okay, Pastor Chris, that's nice. That's nice. It feels good. It's warm. Kindness, gentleness, patience, humility, understanding, wisdom. That's not. Now, those of you who know, peace is not that easy. Humility, kindness, patience, those are not easy things. You know what's easy? Hitting people. That's easy. Yelling, shouting, dominating. That's for the weak. The strong people know Real peace comes through sacrifice. That's how Jesus brought us peace. That's how God brought us peace. Sacrifice. God gives peace through sacrifice. Now, what are we talking about? Okay, so in Colossians chapter 1, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, in Christ, and through him to reconcile himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making Eirene peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Now, you know, if you are the victim, if someone insults you, if you are offended by somebody's words or actions, you know, you don't have to do anything. They have to pay for you. They're the ones who offended. They're the ones who damaged. So the one who does the damage must be the one who repays. That's normal, right? Yeah. The one who is the offender, he must pay the offense. That's justice in general, right? The one who is innocent and doesn't, has nothing, didn't do anything, you just have to wait. You just sit back and wait for them to repay. And so we know as people, we are guilty. We are the ones who did wrong. God did not do anything. God is good. We are the sinners. We are the ones who offend God when we sin against ourselves and each other. The evil in our heart is something we must pay for. We have to repay. We have to give back because God is the one we offended. But look what God did. God paid. God provided the payment. You see that? He doesn't need to do anything. He doesn't need us. He doesn't have to be with us. He doesn't need our relationship. But he does it anyway. He provided the payment. Why? Because God is love. God loves. God wants relationship. God made us to have relationship. And even though we are the ones who should pay, he provided the payment through Christ's body. That's called sacrifice. That's how God brought peace. Right? Now, here's where it comes to you and me. I'm pointing my finger at you, but I have three fingers pointing at me, right? So here's what happens. Some of you here are Christians. Most of you are Christians. You believe this is true. In your heart, you say, yes, amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord, right? Thank you, God, for providing the sacrifice. But still, we have problems with other people. What does it mean? The way that you know you have received the gospel is that you are willing to make the payment. How do you know God is changing you on the inside? How do you know that you are receiving God's transformation inside? You know by one thing, You're offended, but you make the payment. You are damaged, but you provide the reconciliation. You are the victim, but you initiate the relationship to be restored. Yeah, are you uncomfortable yet? Huh? I feel the sweat coming down. Yeah. Chris, I cannot do this. It's too much. It hurts. How do I do it, Chris? I mean, God can do it. He's God. I'm just a human being. I can't reach out. I can't make the payment. They should say sorry to, they should be apologizing to me, not me to them. I can't do this. God says, I know. That's why you need my power. And this is one thing that you can do. This is how you do it. You go to Ephesians. You see what Jesus did. You see the cross. And in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our Eirene, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. In the old ancient cities, Rome, Corinth, Colossae, Athens, they have the Greek town, the Roman section, the Asian group, the Jewish, and between each section, there's a wall, a big wall between the Jews and the Greeks, the Romans, the Asians. And that's what Paul is talking about. There's a big wall that divides. And Jesus' body and his blood was the power that broke the wall down. The cross was the bridge between two groups. What does it mean? It means the payment between one group and the other was the cross. So how do you forgive? How do you reconcile through the cross? Here's what you do. Recently, my friend, we went out to dinner together. And we're going to go and pay for the meal. You know, at the end of the meal, we go to the register. And my friend, he does this. He likes to do this. And I have no problem with it. He takes out his wallet. I take out my wallet. And my friend says, no, 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 no. Put your wallet away. And I say, no, 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 I'll pay. I don't really mean it. But I say, no, no, I'll pay. And he says, no, I got this. I say, all right. And I put my wallet back in my pocket. Because my friend has the credit card. He has the payment. He has the way to pay for both our meals together. And so he says to the cashier, "Isho this. We're together." The cross is the payment between you and your friend, your neighbor, your family member. You want your family member to pay for his insult. You want your coworker to pay for their treatment against you. You want them to pay for the damage. You know what you have? You have the cross. That's how you pay. That's how the dividing wall is broken down. Are you with me? Does that make sense? That's the credit card of the cross. And so you say, well, Chris, they don't believe the cross. They're not Christians. They don't care. Yeah, and the answer is, you do. You're a Christian. You have the cross. You care. So you can pay. You have the cross. Now, I know it's hard. And so that's why it takes wisdom. It takes pain. It takes prayer. It takes time. It takes patience. It takes humility. It takes gentleness. It takes love. And the more you let the gospel come into the heart of your life, the more you can begin to pay. Step by step, little by little. So, here's my prayer for our church in 2023. My prayer is we go closer together. The few of us here. That we go closer together, do life together, share meals together, sing together, pray together, not just here, but in our homes, in the city. That's my hope. That's my prayer. Now, here's what happens when you grow closer to each other. And you know this. There's always that one time where they say something, and you think, chotto. Or they do something where you say, ma. And then they do it more, and they do it again, and you're like, I'm going to spend some time away from this person, right? That's natural. That happens in all relationships. And the Bible knows. And so the writer, Paul, who wrote Ephesians, he says, you as a church, this is how you keep peace. Eirene. There's four things you need, right? I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. The calling is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Easy to understand, but let's meditate on this. There's four things, four ways to keep peace, to build relationship, to reconcile, okay? So, here it is. I'm going to do something very silly, something I never do here at church, but something I do every day at work. I'm going to do a listening exercise, okay? Forgive me, we're going to go into Habakkuk-sensei mode, all right? I have two of my students here, they know the drill, all right? So, here's what I'm going to do, all right? Here's the four things in life that you need for peace, okay? Humility, gentleness, patience, and love, all right? I'm going to give you some definitions of the four things, those four words. Right? I'm not going to tell you which word I'm defining or which word I'm talking about. You listen, and in teacher talk, it's listen and choose the correct word. Okay? All right. Now, all of you Nihonjin, you're like, I hate this in English class. Forgive me, just this one time. Okay? All right. So you can take a don't take a memo. Just keep it in your mind. Okay? I'm going in order, but it's random. Here. Which word am I talking about? Number one. I'm going to make sure you are happy more than me. If it means that you are happy and I'm not, that's okay. If it's a win-lose situation, let you win and let me lose. Your needs are more important than what I need. I have rights, but I will give up my right so that you can have what you need. All right, that's number one. Okay? Got it? All right, number two. Number two. Okay, number two. Everything doesn't depend on me. I have my ideas and my input, But your input and your ideas are as important as mine. And it's okay if my ideas and my input are put lower or even thrown away. Because you are as important as me. I'm going to make sure that I am not in your way. Okay, that's number two. Number three. Number three is a lot like number one, so it's kind of a hikake mondai, a little bit tricky. Okay, number three. I'm going to make sure you have enough time. I'm going to wait for you. I'm not going to make you rush. You take as much time as you need. And if I need to explain myself again, I'll do that for you. If I need to change the words, or if I need to just repeat what I said, I'll do that so that you and me can understand each other. Right? Sounds like number one, but it's a little bit different. Okay? All right, last one, number four. I'm not going to get angry. I'm not going to talk louder than the way I am now. I'm not going to talk faster. I'm going to keep this level of attitude and volume, right? And I'm going to make sure that I'm not giving you stress. Even though I can be frustrated or tired or even confused, but I'm going to be kind to you, and I'm going to speak with tender words. Yeah, all right, that's number four. Yeah? Do you have the order? All right, let's check our, this is so silly. Let's check our answers together, okay? All right, here we go. So, here's the order. Yeah? All right, who got a perfect score? Hey, all right, congratulations, yay. Anything less than four? No, I'm just kidding. All right, so, yeah, that's just a little meditation on how to keep peace with each other. And again, we don't have peace with each other until we have peace with ourselves. We don't have peace with ourselves until we have peace with God. God started the peace with us. We couldn't do it. So he gave us Jesus Christ to be the payment that gives us reconciliation, restoration, relationship with him. That's how we have reconciliation with others. And that's how we keep the peace with each other. Amen? Well, it's Communion Sunday. This is so important for me. I feel that for this peace to stay in our heart, we need Jesus Christ, his power, his blood, his life. Jesus says, if you eat my body, you have life. And if you drink my life, you have power. My body is, my flesh is real food. My blood is real life. This is life that you cannot get from the supermarket, the restaurant. You can't cook this. You can't prepare it. It's given by God. That's what communion is. All right? Do we have the slides? Mada. Okay. So, we have the masks. We have the shodoku here. Okay? So, this is communion, where we will partake of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ for life and power. Now, if you believe in Jesus Christ and you've been baptized into Christianity, please come and take from the plate and the cup. If you've not been baptized, but you someday, you want to be baptized, and someday you will be a Christian, maybe you are in your heart, please come. If not, just wait, just a moment, okay? Oh, great. Okay. So let's read together from John chapter 6. I am the living bread. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world.